Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got Chad Meek, and he was raised in the California desert in the shadow of Giant Rock, and his famous ET contactee uncle, George Van Tassel, was also part of that experience. Chad had an alien abduction experiences of his own that led to a passion for UFOs, the occult, and metaphysical studies that has carried on to the present day. He continues to manage clarity resources, practice astrology, and nurture the remarkable legacy of his uncle, and currently working on the film Giant Rock, the movie. So we've got a lot in common, so I want to welcome Chad to the show. Chad, are you with us?
I am James here.
Great. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. I was raised, believe it or not, in Apple Valley, California.
Okay.
So.
I didn't know that. That's
Yeah,
funny.
yeah. So I'm very familiar with Giant Rock and the Integratron and all the other things in that area going on and the UFO activity. I mean, as kids, we used to sleep out on the lawn. We were in the high desert there, and watch the skies, and we would see things, constantly, just doing. Zigzag pattern, stopping, powering up, and then taking off, and this was back, in the 50s,
Oh, yeah, I know.
so that was in, well, I was born in, I'm dating myself now, but 52, but as a kid, all the way up till I think 8th grade, we lived in that area, and just constantly watched the crazy stuff going on there, and the old Sidewinder Mountains there just light up, and things happen there, and people driving out with jeeps trying to find out what crashed and what was burning out there, and never found anything.
That's great because I actually had exactly the same experiences. I would, literally, I was in this environment, and of course, my parents, they were kind of, Judaic Christian, and that whole thing, and I was having all these experiences out there, and I really couldn't tell them. And my uncle was such an icon, I was actually afraid to tell him some of my experiences because I kind of thought, well, maybe if I don't, and I'm talking about age four to seven, and I'm thinking, well, maybe if I don't talk to anybody about this will just go, this will kind of go away. But it actually increased. And it was really funny because my mother, she was kept on telling me, oh, well, there's nothing like this. And we were living out there, and her and my sister and me, we were having a walk out in the desert, and we saw this craft. It was at night, and it was completely lit up, and it was actually hovering I would guesstimate about the size of a football field above us, and we just stood there in awe. And it was so funny to watch my mother because after that, she didn't have any, she would not say anything derogatory about people that had actually had these experiences because she had
Yeah, I
it.
love that. I love that when that happens. People have their own experience, and a lot of people just, shove it under the rug and try to go on about their business, and then, you remind them of them later, and they just don't want to talk about it.
Oh, this is, it's really funny, the whole displaced memory thing. It kind of cracks me up, or I guess selective memory. But the reason I even bring it up is that I was just talking to my sister about it about a month ago, and my mother has since passed. But I just gave three. I'm out. Talking to financial people, so I'm having to get up in front of a lot of people with a PowerPoint presentation, and we go through the whole thing. My uncle's story, what had happened out there, and incidentally, everyone is extremely, interested. They won't take their eyes off me or the presentation. What was also, because I did one in a presentation in Beverly Hills, and I did one in Irvine, and I did one in La Jolla. Okay, and these are all the suits. They're all legitimate, and every single one of those meetings after I had actually gave the presentation. Everyone, somebody would come to me and say, I got to talk to you. And it's like, okay. And I heard some of the most extraordinary stories from people that you just would not expect that would have any kind of encounter. And they said, I've got to tell you this. And then we would go into the variants and all that stuff. So it's really kind of what's happening is, and is a lot of people, in fact, one of the reasons I guess come out as far as this whole thing is that, you know, I'm kind of tired of hiding. And I think the more people that come out and share their stories and express their you know, feelings about them, I think the better.
Yeah, but don't expect not to take flack, you know, if you do, because it's really interesting. A lot of times, a lot of your friends and family and even the government, you know, will turn on you and pull their shenanigans. We're experiencing that, you know, right now, where they're doing all they can to shut down our ranch and keep people from coming out and seeing, you know, the ongoing UFO activity here.
Oh, that's real, James. I mean, you know. Yeah. No, that's real. They certainly, and this has been a common thread that's been going on for actually really since the movement even began. And really where it got started in earnest was, you know, after Roswell. But, you know, I was looking at some communications between, it was Truman and Churchill. And the whole discussion was that they were so worried that people would, And this is a quote, they were worried about people not going to church and not paying taxes. You know, and it's like, okay, so I thought that was very interesting. I mean, they were so worried that people would stop trusting them and the various institutions if they actually acknowledged something higher than all of us, which is clearly evident.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, they do threaten, you know, people's power bases. And I've seen that, you know, with some people I know right now that are actually moving outside, you know, they're starting to move outside the box and moving out of social consciousness and the constructs, because they're seeing, you know, just how corrupt everything has become. And their families are doing everything they can to get them not to go, not to do it, not to go forward. And they're so threatened by this. And I think it's because it brings up their own knowingness deep within that things are so corrupt and so screwed up that they
can't look away. Yeah. They can't look away. Yeah, I actually see that too happening. You know, as far as you know, we have this, you know, this third eye that, you know, has kind of remained dormant. And I've noticed a lot of people, there is transformation out there. You know, and I think a lot of this third eye stuff, this knowing, you know, what's what and refusing to accept anything but the truth. And I think I see that with a lot of people coming out. And there's some people like me that I'm like you, we're in our 50s and, or late 50s. I don't care anymore. I mean, I've lived that life. I ran an oil and gas company. I've done all this stuff. The whole material world is, hey, listen, we all need resources. We've got to do what we've got to do to, you know, keep the lights on, all that stuff. But as far as any kind of, excessive, wants, to become a plutocrat or, you know, become a cartoon character like Donald Trump, I have no interest. It's almost an anathema to I think the whole human spirit. And so in one respect, yeah, it is a little nerve-wracking. I've had the government look at me and but what are they going to do? I mean, I'm going to do and that's the primary reason that I'm doing Giant Rock is they completely literally discredited or attempted to discredit my uncle and a lot of these people who were legitimately trying to make the world a better place. And I think it's so, yeah, granted there was the Cold War during that time period and, my uncle made the mistake of coming out because he had actually have this almost communion with these people. They said, listen, stop this above ground nuclear testing. It's going to hurt this Garden of Eden for the rest, for eons. Don't, do whatever you can. So my uncle was very vocal about it, but his timing was probably not the best time because,
yeah.
But he was fearless. And no matter what, in my experience with him and even the research I've done since, I marvel at this guy. And I'm not a devotee of anything or anybody, but I absolutely marvel at the moxie because literally he knew what he knew. and he wasn't afraid to tell people what he knew. And even if people would, say disparaging remarks or kind of, you know, play him down, he would literally stand up, look them in the eye, and tell them exactly what he experienced. And that was it. End of story. And you know, after that, you could say literally anything to him. He frankly didn't care. I mean, he just knew what he said, and he had a voice of truth and came out and said that. So people in this movement that we are in, and it is a movement, people who do this are probably one of the they represent the best of really what America at least was, okay, and what it should be now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I've been doing the same thing for about 30 years, and just straight up and having my own near-death experiences, had a couple of those, and shifting into that interdimensional mind, you know, I have no doubt whatsoever of what's going on there. And you know, the big picture is just so vast and so incredible, you know, and the truth is so much more outrageous than the lie and the crap that they put out there. You know, I don't know why the movie industry doesn't do something, you know, around true experiences, what really happened, you know, versus putting all their fear and suspense and crap, you know,
right
into the picture and just destroying the whole, you know, the whole experience.
I think it's unfortunate. I mean, there have been, you know, a couple of, you know, close encounters of the third kind, which actually my uncle consulted with them on that. And, you know, that was probably one of the better ones. But
yeah,
then they've kind of gone downhill, you know, as far as this. And what they want to do is they want to make it a cartoon. And, you know, Men in Black, this and that. You know, one thing about it, I feel, being older, you know, I used to feel I was being persecuted by having these experiences and things like that. But now I feel, you know, in retrospect, I feel I've actually been blessed. I've been medically blessed. I mean, I had an experience with, I had boils underneath my armpits, underneath my genitals, everything. I don't know what was going wrong with me. So we went to the dermatologist and they gave me some cream and some medication. And then I went back and they gave me some injections and nothing worked. It just kept getting worse. And, you know, and I'm sharing this experience. What had happened is, I literally, you know, through my uncle, I got just a whisper. He says, get in the bathtub and count backwards from 10 all the way down to 1. And I really thought I was, you know, because I was scratching and I had some sort of allergic reaction that no one could figure out what it was. And, you know, this is about 10 or about 12 years ago. And I'm scratching and literally getting marks. Well, I said, I give up. I'll do this. Okay. I thought I was going crazy. So I do this and I go from, and I do that and all of a sudden I'm having an out of body and I'm really being protected and I'm literally flying literally through the universe. I mean, everything is splitting apart. I'm passing stars and all that stuff. And I get to a place, which is funny. I get to this, place out there, wherever that was. And they said, okay, you know, do you want to continue to go? You want to keep going? And I said, well, no, I don't. I want to go back. I think I have things to do. And I didn't know what I didn't know what that was. Okay.
Yeah.
And so instantaneously I was back in my body and I did not have, I had a spontaneous, event where literally I had no boils, no remnants. And this had been going on for weeks. And I was completely cured of all these boils. Everything had shrunk down to nothing. It was like nothing had ever happened. So I've had these kind of very strange, I would have to call them wonderful or miracles. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's, you know, in my life I've had everything demonstrated to me in so many different ways. And I'm a little thick. I mean, I must admit. I mean, I'm running around the material world, you know, poking holes. Heck, I held the records for drilling oil and gas wells in the state of Nevada, living in the material world. But the whole thing is that, at the same time I'm having all this simultaneous events happen, I kind of came to the point, wait a minute, let's try to change something, let's try to do something. And that's in effect what we did, what we're doing with the movie. You know, that's our main goal, is to actually change some minds. We're doing it through a movie, and we've taken some dramatic license, but it all fits. You know, as far as with that, we've got to keep it interesting, with our hope of getting people interested, maybe doing a little research, maybe talking to you, maybe talking to others. Who knows? Maybe something. But this is just our attempt, and we're excited about it. We think we have something here.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I know. Are you familiar with Otis Carr and Ralph Ring and those guys?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, that was interesting, because I did an interview with him a little while ago, and I said, and he was talking about how they were doing some things, back engineering some stuff and building you know, their own craft, and we used to fly these smaller units, used to fly them around the valley there, and we used to see them.
Yeah, people used to see them.
And so I think there's a combination of things going on there. I think there's definitely, you know, contact and UFO activity, and there were some pretty brilliant people trying to create these ships, you know, and back engineer these ships and things. So, you know, it's you know, I always say, I think kind of like all of the above was going on there.
Sure. Oh yeah, sure. Well, you know, the what was so funny about with, you know, growing up, you know, every time I would ever have a serious question, it was kind of, you know, about something, I would, you know, about UFOs or trying to figure something out, whatever, I would go to some of my uncle's books that he had written, and I would open up a page and I'd have an answer. It's really strange. One time, I had this experience, okay, I was in Utah, I was up in the mountains. I had, usually how I have these things, usually I kind of get pre-warned a lot of times, you know, as far as I had this dream about crafts and what have you, and that I would see one the next day. And I was up in the mountains in Utah, and I was walking back down, and I seen this huge, I mean, this thing was gigantic, and it was this rainbow color. The only thing I could see is, and I'm looking underneath it, it's this rainbow color, and it's a perfect, egg-shaped, you know, craft that, you know, from the bottom looking down, and it was going over the whole valley, and I could see it now. And it was perfect. It wasn't the typical like rainbow where you start at the ground, you go around the other way. No, it was completely circular, and it was floating all the way down. And I'm standing there, I'm looking at this thing, and I go, God, what is this thing here? I mean, because it didn't have a lot of the same characteristics of, you know, some of the metal or some of the various blimp shape you know, crafts that people have seen. Well, I go, is this a, you know, what is this? Because it's perfect, and it was moving very slowly, and I've never seen like that in my life. Well, here's the Dick Norris, who was the sports commentator for one of the news stations. He gets up there and he says, many people have called in the valley and talking about this rainbow that, you know, that was floating from one end, about 100 miles from one end of the valley to the other, and scientists have proclaimed that this is a this is an event that happens all the time. It that never happens. it doesn't happen that way. Rainbows don't go like that. And so I'm actually, you know, I'm on the internet, I'm looking, well, how is this possible? I mean, you know, so I go to one of my uncle's books, and I open up, and he's talking about the rainbow people. There's actually a whole group of people, that a sect of extraterrestrials that travel in this thing, and I guess there's literally millions of entities in these things here. But again, it was so crazy, because I'm listening to the television guy, and I can't believe what I'm hearing, and I'm thinking, yeah, so... But
it's definitely there's been a huge movement. You know, what I understand is that since the 60s or actually the 50s, it really started in. But ever since the Roswell crash, you know, there's been a huge effort to, you know, create the giggle factor to make people look like they're idiots or crazy or whatever, you know, concerning UFOs, because we were very busy back engineering them. And whoever has the best technology in almost any war is the one that wins. And
That's right.
so basically, we're in the Cold War at the time, and they were scrambling to get first, with this technology and get it out there. You really think about it, fiber optics and microwave and all of these things came out of the Roswell crash.
Yes,
So
it did.
yeah, so along with other things that we don't even know about, that the black projects have and are playing with.
You're right, and it's one of my. It's funny, I've kind of, I was always kind of indoctrinated to free energy and things like that, which came out of that. Some of the philosophies and some of the stuff came from all that various era. My uncle's involved with a lot of free energy stuff, and his thing was. And really there is, I mean, there are ways to do things, and we're finding out that we really don't need, hydrocarbons. We don't need to pollute our world, but the technology is being kept from the common man because it's just coming out because unless they can figure out how to make a dollar on it, most people are not going to see it, So they've been very accustomed to the powers that be. They understand oil. They know how to get involved with all the integrated. They know how to play that game. But that game, but if somebody, and again, it's coming out piece by piece by piece as far as some of the technology is slipping out, and they're trying to figure out how to make a dollar at it. But at the same time, what they do is anything that comes out new, like they downplay it or they de-glamorize it, and all this processing they're continually trying to do. As far as with us through Madison Avenue and through, what it is just programming. I mean, it's really it's subliminal. It's neurolinguistic programming. So people are always looking the wrong way. And in fact, on my blog, I just wrote about it. I mean, there's a bill in Congress right now to legalize propaganda, which I mean, to make it legal for, it supposedly used to be legal for. It used to be legal for people, the United States government, to actually be propaganda masters. Well, we know that's a joke because they've been doing it forever. I don't know if you recall how you and I had to jump underneath the desk on these nuclear blast drills in elementary school and what have you. And I'm thinking it's laughable. I mean, what possibly if you have a nuclear blast that hits your in the direct area. How is climbing underneath the table gonna make you safe? And I could never understand why that was because so really why were they doing that? Well, they were programming. They were texturizing all of us to basically to be dependent on the government and to basically do their will and their bidding. The latest thing, of course, is keeping us safe. I really. That's the one word or a couple of words I wish they would abandon because keeping us safe. I mean, everything is to keep us safe. You go across the border, they look at you 15 different ways. Well, it's to keep us safe. Well, and you go through an airport, everything is to keep us safe. Well, no, what all this is almost, it's a neurolinguistic programming processing that we've been experiencing to become more and more dependent on the fascist state. And that's where we're at. And I look at this, and I wish more people would push back. I don't know, and I look around at some of my peers, the general population. I'm thinking, why are we tolerating this? Why are we doing this? That it's, we know it's not right, but again, it's tough, it's hard, but it needs to be done. One of the things, and one of the more powerful things, are films. Okay, the big pushback for us is number one, we want to show what they did to my uncle and others, which actually included chemical dosing. Okay, that was their favorite thing. They literally love to make people crazy through, the whole black op things as far as with all the LSD. It's all clearly evident. They would dose people. They would make them, crazy. Then they would, do all kinds of stuff. But we want to basically show them exactly what they did to some really, very, very nice and very good people. that were just trying to do something a little, you know, for planet Earth and for the rest of mankind. But, you know, that's one of the things we want to show. And we want to push it back a little bit. You know, this is, you know, there's this 95% of all the, you know, movie, media, et cetera, that keeps on wanting to throw this stuff down everyone's throat is about a variety of things. And this movie, it's near and dear to me. This is a little pushback. I want people to push back with me. I want them to push back with you. I mean, we have to push back. I mean, we cannot just, I mean, where are we going to go? I mean, you know, also, so it's kind of interesting as far as that. One thing I did, it was great. I had one meeting with a group of investment bankers and they love the concept. They see the commercial potential, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't believe in UFOs. And, I just kind of giggled at that because, but here's the but. They said, but we believe in some intelligent life form out there. It has to be, which is, you know, again, it's a contradiction. But I posed this whole question to them. I said, okay, what if you had a gazillion dollars in your pocket and you were hovering over the Amazon, okay, and you've seen these people who are basically happy and doing, living a very natural lifestyle in their own way. What would you do? And of course, everyone says, well, they didn't really have an answer. I said, well, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd do nothing. And so, and it really was kind of an answer to some of their questions, which is, well, how come there aren't all these photographs? Hello, there are. But I didn't want to argue that point with them. But what stumped them is that they would know what to do. Well, it's the same thing. We have a lot of visitations. There's a lot of interest to planet Earth, which, you know, my guess is that I think that this is the origin of a lot of species going back millions and millions and millions of years. I think that this might have been quite possibly a Garden of Eden. I mean, really.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think this is like going home, you know, to a lot of people, kind of seeing, well, okay, we've moved on and we were able to, you know, use the various wormholes or whatever technology at the time. But we want to come back and check it out and make sure our home is stable. So I don't believe, you know, Stephen Hawking comes up with this thing that, well, it'd be like the American Indian, you know, people conquering him. We wouldn't like to have this. You know, that's absolutely a ridiculous statement because I'm not worried about them. As far as malintent, possibly there are some sects out, you know, out there, some groups that maybe might have a malintent, but I kind of doubt it because if they wanted to zap us with their technology, couldn't they have already done it?
It just seems like if you were to evolve, you know, let's say somebody's several thousand years ahead of us, or even could even be a million billion years ahead of us, you know, eventually you would probably have to, you know, evolve into a more peaceful, harmonious state, you know, because your technology would take you out.
Sure.
That's one thing. But the other thing is, too, is I think there's other benevolent beings out there keeping an eye on things and not letting anything get out of hand if there are some negative sects out there that and I think those benevolent ones too are doing a major cleanup on the planet right now, getting rid of any negative influences
sure,
you know, assisting
I
us,
agree.
Yeah, in this huge shift that we're going through. But anyway, those I know it there does seem to be, like you're saying, a massive mind control effort by the media. You know, everything is, even ET now, they have the thing biting people's heads off, you know, and stuff.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like all the good movies, you know, I'm waiting for them to come out with a new Cocoon, you know, to where the cocoon opens up and some reptile comes out and starts munching on people. And you know, they're going to have to disqualify that one too, you know, and make a new War of the Worlds or something. Well, they already did that, but they'll make it one even worse. You know?
They make new one, yeah. It is a battle of the minds, you know, as far as that stuff goes. And one of the things too is, I tell you how I feel better. I feel better being proactive. I feel better at least doing something versus doing nothing. Uh-huh. You know, doing nothing for me is not an option, just because of my pedigree. I mean, my uncle was, you got to remember, different time. I remember when I was a teenager and my uncle's on all these different shows and what have you, and I'd be sitting there and I'd be watching, and I would not tell my friends that he was my uncle because I didn't want anyone to think I was different. It was a very, very strange time period as far as that goes, but I've had some of the most bizarre, I guess, and there are no coincidences. I'm sitting at a meeting at Morton Thiokol, which they're rocket scientists over there, okay? And I'm pitching them a oil and gas tax shelter. I have my geologist and I have my vice president. We're sitting there and because I'm after the money, buddy. I mean, you need money. If you want to drill, you need money. And so I'm sitting there talking. This one guy keeps staring at me, and it really made me a little bit nervous because he wouldn't say anything. He kept on looking at me, and he goes, "Where are you from?" I go, "California." He goes, "Whereabouts?" I go, "Southern California," trying everything I could to divert the whole attention from anything other than me. And then he goes, "Well, but where?" I said, "Well, it was a place kind of out near Palm Springs, and where exactly?" And it was like everything was frozen in time, and I felt like I was in a vacuum. And he goes, "Well, no, where?" And I go, "Well, do you know a place called Yucca Valley is?" And they go, "Well, yeah." And I go, "Well, it was just outside a little unincorporated place called Landers, a place called Giant Rock." He said, "Did you ever know a guy named George Van Tassel?" I knew the conversation was over. Everything basically directed it toward there. And anyways, to make the crux of the story, I mean, to get to the bottom line of the whole thing is he says, he just told me, he said flat out, he says, "I would have never, ever got into rocket, the business I'm in. And I would have not gone that had not been for your uncle." And he says, he motivated me more, inspired me more to do this than anybody else. And he says, and he thanked me. Well, I was the wrong person to be thanked, but I was just telling it, and I was saying, okay, what do we need in the world? We need people who are going to inspire others to do something good, okay? One thing I feel very comfortable about that, because I've done business over in Serbia, and I ran into some, people who really have done a lot of development with some of the Tesla early stuff, and I was talking to them, and they knew he was. And everywhere I'd go, and I ran into an American airline pilot who had retired. Well, it appears that my uncle, what he did was, if anyone saw a UFO, if you were a pilot, or if you were working, or a Marine pilot, or anybody in the military, if you saw a UFO, it was through the background that you'd go talk to George, okay? George will help you process this thing through, because there are a lot of suicides and a lot of very strange things, because once somebody sees a UFO, it really challenges their view of reality and their whole life and career. And so there was no one to talk to, because if you're a pilot, if you reported a UFO, you're automatically, you're out the door. And military, out the door. So I would remember seeing military people in uniforms in khakis or the greens or whatever, and out there as a little kid. And I always wondered, well, what are you guys doing out here? But what I found out was that that's what my uncle did. He'd explain to them what they were seeing. And of course, his counsel was, don't tell a soul, because once you do, you're out the door. So there was a lot of good that he did. Truly he was a human being, and everything is kind of coming out on this thing here. He did like women, and he had there wasn't a woman. He had a thing for women, and I guess that was one of the human qualities of it. But then again, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. I found out what's really interesting is that when you do start aligning with that higher consciousness and energy, even Jesus did a quote that really shocked people when he was talking about a woman. He said, this woman, her husband died, and so by Jewish law she had to go to another, to the brother, Yeah. And then the brother died, the next brother died, so she had to go to the other brother. And so they're asking him, you know, just say, well, you know, this is going to be adultery and everything else. Like, when she dies and crosses over, whose husband, who's going to be the husband, you know? And you know, now she's had three husbands, so when she dies and crosses over, you know, who's going to be the husband? You know, this is adultery and things like that. And he said, and basically his answer was, none of them. She goes, when she crosses over to heaven, she'll be free as an angel. And so
there you go.
Yeah, and so in the higher realms, they don't have all these control systems, and they don't have, you know, all these jealousies and judgments and condemnations. They just don't exist. And you know, we always anthropomorphize, you know, these beings, these UFOs, like Hawkins did. You know, he looked at all the negativity in man, thinking these beings are going to come back to Earth just like we came to the Indians and wiped them out, and do the same thing. Well, that's not their reality. You know, they don't function that way. And a lot of them just take the high road and just observe and wait for people to rise to the occasion. You know, they know when you're ready to contact. And you know, you've got to transcend all religious and cultural boundaries, you know, and shift into unity consciousness before a lot of them will have anything to do with you.
That's correct. Well, what it is, and I really, you know, I mean, you know, I believe that they're literally at a higher state of love, which is an abstraction, but it's just this higher state of being, which is this pure love. And all the other, all the man-made nuances and rules and regulation are, become so irrelevant, because once you're in that higher state or consciousness of love, you have no need for this, you know, fake or false, self. And, so, yeah, you're a different person. So that's what it is. That's predominantly why I think there's a lot of contact with children, because of, you know, this, you know, there's a certain amount of purity. And I had most of my experiences, you know, primarily, between the ages of 4 and 13, you know, as far as that, because I would ask very, very simple questions and, you know, with true intent and things like that. And I, you know, things would happen. Simply, they, you know, I would reach out in honesty and in purity at a higher vibration, even as a little kid, and I would get answers. And this is one thing. And what happens is, you go out in the world, it's almost like the prodigal son. We go out in the world, we have to learn a living, we have to get a driver's license. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get this, you have to get this, and you get inundated. And what happens to most of us is we just lose ourselves. And so it takes a lot of work. Herculean work to get back to that whole mindset where none of the other stuff matters, and what matters is the contact with and the love with other people. And but, you know, this is, we're talking a different level, and most people, I mean, I couldn't have this conversation in front of 25 investment bankers, you know, because they'd laugh me out of the building. But, you know, but this is who I am. I kind of personally, and I, you know, it's so funny because I've had this dual track. I mean, I'd be in the oil and gas business, but I would always run into a geophysicist, from Shell or Occidental Petroleum, who are deeply metaphysical, kind of stuck in their whole material world. And we would kind of gravitate. We just almost instantaneously know who we were. And I said, what do you do? Oh, you know, I do it. You know, my avocation is astrology on the side. Well, you know, of course, you know, that's music to my ears, because, you know, comparative religions, you know, have been my, and astrology, metaphysics have been my avocation my whole life. That's what I would stand in bookstores. Instead of going to the bars, I would usually go and stand in bookstores and read whatever books I could on all these subjects and topics. So it's been my world, along with this dual track. Well, I am more than happy to gravitate towards this and doing something creative with this versus, you know, trying to figure out how to beat somebody out of a 16th on an oil and gas well. I mean, it's, you know, it's much better. I think
those two worlds are coming, you know, they're separating further and further. And you know, I've noticed too, is that this old world that we've been in, you know, which is focused on separation and competition and greed and overpowering others and things like that, that whole program is going out the door. It's not frequency specific to the Earth's evolution right now. And And so a lot of people are hanging on real tightly to that program, but you know, there's a whole new world coming in at the same time, and we seem to be in between those two worlds.
We are transitioning. What we are doing is, and I think this is why some of us are being, are really having, a lot of, contact and, communication with, not only our higher selves, but, the vast amount of higher souls out there that are helping us. I think that's the primary reason that a lot of us are starting to come and starting to stand up and starting to be more, more heard. I'm always amazed at, I have to look at numbers because I have to present numbers. But, you go Google, UFO blogs or whatever. I mean, there's something like 42 million people writing UFO blogs. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so if there's that many people writing them, okay. And of course, again, I'm still stuck in a little bit because I have to present numbers to people as far as who would go see your movie, Chad. And I say, hey, well, listen, if you want to know who will go see it, just go Google UFO blogs, and I think we have quite a big audience, And then some of the numbers that are coming out are very intriguing.
Yeah.
As high as maybe 67% of people that are actually believe in extraterrestrials or higher life forms. That was one I saw. There was a study out of Harvard that I thought was interesting as far as abductions and as far as that there might be as with their double blind with the most severe control questions that they ever had was somewhere around 6 million, which and again my own anecdotal stuff is everywhere I speak. I have people come and tell me their story about their encounter, and all of them have been very, very good. Actually, I probably have some of the more difficult abduction experiences than anybody I've talked to lately. I did not want to be abducted. Obviously, there was a reason. I was under some sort of study, as far as that. But I never wanted to. In fact, I couldn't talk about this stuff until I was, I never talked about 25 years old. I was 3 years, I wouldn't tell my wife about any of this stuff until we were married for 3 years for fear of she'd run away if I told her this. So I went, people always ask me, well, have you done any hypnotism with a practitioner and all that stuff? I did it in Denver. And it was so painful for me at the time. I got off the couch. I got halfway through, and I couldn't handle it anymore. So some of mine were a little bit more difficult than some of the other people I've been talking to. And yet I've had some wonderful experiences. I can't tell you how blessed I am. And they represent who I am. They're a part of who I am today. So I'm certainly glad of my whole life, as far as that. I know the difference between, the whole materialistic, nonsensical life and, living in a spiritual place and literally getting, that there's magic. People, if they want magic, what they should do is they should get as slim down as possible, get out of whatever debt that they have. Don't play into the world conspiracy game to basically motivate you to buy this, and that, and just live purely. And they'll come to the realization, and this is the realization, is that we don't need anything. We were born perfect. We have everything on earth. All we've been doing is adulterating this perfect place.
Exactly. I always tell people about nature. You look at that one kernel of corn, you put it in the ground, it's going to put out at least one ear, maybe two. And each ear of corn is going to have like 500 kernels on it. I've actually counted them, around 500 kernels. So the ratio is 1 to 500. If you have two ears, it's 1 to 1,000. You plant those 1,000, and then you get it. I don't know. You do the math, and you look at how abundant nature is. And everything else, and you go, well, why do we have lack? Why do we have any lack whatsoever? Why are people still starving on the planet? Why? It's all manufactured.
Absolutely. You know, it really, I mean, well, first of all, most of us, okay, including myself, you know, everyone should eat about half of what they're eating anyways. I mean, and give it to some more needy people. But truly, you're right. And it's so funny. It's so funny. Even that, we have Monsanto basically trying to re-engineer, you know, these, you know, God's gift, which is this Garden of Eden, plenty of food, plenty of everything. And they want to try to re-engineer this basic thing, which actually is really, you know, you can tell the difference if you, you know, if you eat an heirloom tomato versus a tomato out of Safeway or Vons. That Safeway or Vons tomato, it doesn't taste anything like a tomato. And so, yeah, it's funny. And as far as energy, you know, as far as the whole oil and gas thing, you know, we have a technology to move. And what they do is they do everything they can to get in the way of that. And they've been doing it forever. I mean, you know, in L.A., we grew up kind of in L.A. You know, it's a fact. Standard Oil and Firestone, they tore up the subway tracks so people would get in their cars and use more tires and use more gas. There was a very elaborate subway system that, you know, that was far-reaching. They had easements everywhere in there. But what did they do? I mean, so, you know, my uncle talks about this, the adulteration. You know, everything has been adulterated. You know, the Vedics, you know, they talk about this huge dark age where, you know, we live in this upside down world where, you know, truth is, you know, truth becomes a lie and the lie becomes the truth, yeah. You know. And people wonder how things operate, you know, but you have to really be cognizant because some of these forces, they are very, very powerful. And they are, you know, these black forces out there, they're very powerful and you need to basically commit yourself to this life in order to combat them, you know, so.
Yeah, there's many levels to those dark forces, it seems like. You know, I think, too, one of the biggest things to overcome is this herd consciousness.
Yes.
And just being asleep. And people, anybody steps outside of the herd, the others will attack them because, hey, you're threatening our herd, our comfort zone. it's just unbelievable. You know, don't rock the boat. You know, don't create problems. And although we live in lack and we live, you know, in losing our freedom and everything else, don't rock the boat. You know, it's
don't. Like, well, you know, and you know, you talk about Jesus and what, you know, he, you know, of course, the ultimate, obviously the ultimate extraterrestrial, because yeah. I guess nothing ever came to this. You know, you really know where he came from. It was some other place, because definitely. some of the views that he had and just simply basically coming up and talking about being able to, in fact, you know, swallow the world. Well, you know, we are worlds within worlds within worlds and actually being the master of oneself. And, that's what the ultimate goal. And actually, you know, it's kind of almost like a judo thing, you know, and really you'll notice that the people who are, you know, who are strong, that are able to, you know, channel the negative energy out and around, you can literally use it against your opponent. I mean, that's what's really neat about this is that, yeah, I mean, it is negative energy, but it is still energy. And if you know how to process this and get it away and literally turn it around towards your adversaries, that is the key to what a lot of us are doing. And once you start getting embracing that, and you don't do that by, you know, and I'm not talking about anything physical or, you know, physical force or anything like that. It's just really a mental and spiritual concept where literally you can, you know, take their negative force and utilize it and just rechannel it. And, you know, and the worst thing they want is to have their own negative force rechanneled back to them. They won't know what to do with it. So, but yeah, there is a lot of, it's funny. In one respect, there are, you know, but again, if you acknowledge that it's there, because it is there, and are able to do something with it, then you'll become by far more stronger and more spiritually aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been looking at some of the stuff going on here, and, you know, it makes no sense, you know, and I go, okay, what's this really about? You know, you know, just all the adversarial stuff that we've been going here, and you go, what is this really about? Let's track this down. And it's all about basically fear. You know, you track it down to one thing, and you know, people are afraid, and they're afraid of change, they're afraid of the unknown, they're afraid of their comfort zones, you know, being rocked and changed, you know. But to me, it's like, you know, considering where we're going right now in this evolutionary process, and the alignment with galactic plane, and the sun just going ballistic, and whatever other large objects seem to be flying by.
Solar flares are, I mean, they're going off the map now. I mean,
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean, change is coming, period.
Right.
It's you know, I don't think the grid's going to hang on, you know, through this whole process. And the weather, you know, the erratic weather, the increase in earthquake and volcanic, I think it's up 800% or something. The natural disasters, it's like, come on, folks, you know, change is here. You know, it's happening, and it's time to pay attention to that, and learn to flow with it, and learn to, you know, let's welcome the free energy. Let's welcome the new, you know, all these new technologies, both healing and energy technologies for our energy needs. And, you know, let's also welcome, you know, the greater family of man that's been watching over us, you know, before the pyramids, basically.
Absolutely. Well, we're definitely a new paradigm, and one of the, you know, it's funny you mentioned a lot of really key things, you know, as far as that it's already here. We, you know, we can do this. The thing is that yes, it's challenging for the status quo, the various systems. I look at, you know, in some of my meditations, I will get some of this stuff, and I think, well, you know, I ask certain questions like, well, why do we, you know, how can we have all this duplication of government services? Why do we have a federal? Why do we have a state? Why do we have county? Why do we have a city? I mean, there's and along with it, of course, there's all these tributes that we're all forced to pay along the way. And I think, well, what if all that stuff went, instead of paying them and all this stuff, well, what if we took all those resources and actually did something good and kind, like literally feed the poor, you know, take care of our elderly and all that stuff? It's all there. It's just that we, you know, it's just not, you know, what happens is that you have these various turf wars, and it almost goes back to the Roman Empire as far as just the whole series of, you know, tribute, even though they talk about, you know, the various kind of common law that we live in per se. It's really more Napoleonic, which is, you know, it's just you pay tribute. And I think that's changing, and I think but the transition is going to be, you know, a little difficult. It is when our numbers are increasing. Actually, our numbers are increasing and theirs are dwindling. And I think that this is a war of attrition to many in many respects. And it's going to be people who are going to be role models and are living correctly. More people, you know, you lead by example. People will want to be like, you know, would want a life like you if you can stand up in front of the force. And so so people are watching, but it is a war of attrition. We're going to win. I mean, we've got the forces of the universe.
Oh, yeah,
I
I know. Well,
mean.
evolution, the whole universe, evolution, everything is on our side. So it's a, you know, it's like standing in front of a tsunami thinking you're going to stop it. It's just not going to happen.
You know, so yeah, it is happening. And but you know what? It's funny. You go through back through time as far as in, you know, recent history, as far as, you know, we've had several, like for instance, the early space contactee movement. I call that, you know, it morphed into the abduction, you know, thing. When I look at and what they did to that, they literally purposely squashed that. That was a really an interesting, especially the conventions that were going out at my uncle's place. I mean, as a little kid, I'd go out there and there'd be, you know, you go out in your backyard, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you see, you know, 10 to 12,000 people.
Yeah.
Quite an event.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
You
they've
know?
squashed all the benevolent stuff basically. You know, the major UFO conferences, you go there and they're all perpetuating, you know, either if it's not nuts and bolts, it's not real, it's either back engineered or it's all evil. It's all negative. And you go, "Well,
Right.
where are, you know, the women in the field? Where are the benevolent, you know, speakers? You know, what happened to all these people? They just got shoved right out, of the field. And it's interesting, and you look at some of the panels, the controlling panels that are running these shows, and you look at them, they're card carrying CFR members and military intelligence and things like that. They've totally squashed out the big picture and what's really going on, and there's extreme jealousy
I know. You're right. My uncle was, accused of being part of the tinfoil crowd and all that stuff. And, it's kind of this, I call them purists, okay, in the whole, movement, which, it's going to take all kinds and I can appreciate them. Some of them I wish I had a dollar for, whenever I ask them a direct question saying, I always get the, I can't tell you anymore because if I tell you anymore, they're going to kill my family and all this other stuff. It almost becomes almost an X-Men expose. I mean, or something, again, you're absolutely right. And these purists, they actually forgot where they came from. Okay. Their roots was actually within people like my uncle, people like George Adamski, things like that. The whole movement was very, very good, very extraordinarily positive. It was going to change the world, and then it was squashed. I mean, it was. Then we had another thing. We had the various groups, the so-called hippie movements, etc. There was a lot of that was coming out, and it was fairly good. It was more communal, but it was different. That was squashed. I mean, so there has been a concentrated effort to anything that comes to the benefit of the whole man or the common man, that it's going to be, they're going to come after you. So, I say, hey, let them come. But what I'm going to do is but before they get me, James, I'm going to create a trilogy of movies that is going to push right back to them.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a little surprise for you. I'm not sure, but, I can't make any promises, but I was gifted a long time ago a whole series of these reel tapes of your uncle, and they're very old. I don't know how good condition they are, but I passed them on to another guy who was creating some archives and things like that, and I think I can track them down.
If they're of the channeling sessions, the proceedings.
Yeah,
we have them. We have them. They're
okay.
Yeah, we have them. They're very interesting. I mean, here's the conflict, when you listen to them, because, my uncle was a self-educated man. It sounds a little, it's really funny because I would listen to him regularly as far as that, what he was saying. And it's kind of funny because he was from the Midwest. He was kind of just very simplistic as far as some of the stuff goes. Conversely, I interviewed several people that were down inside the rock while he was getting this information from the various entities that he was talking to. And literally, his whole voice would completely change. His head would illuminate. And he would literally go from one voice to whoever he was talking to, and it would change. And everyone would just be dumbfounded as far as the whole event. And so... But when you listen to them now, because of it's back in the 50s and 60s and all that stuff, you kind of, it's a little bit, it's just really funny, but after interviewing, some people are down there and God, I mean, they would tell you exactly what it was. It was something very, very special. So the tapes are great. I like them. Hey, grab a hold of them.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can track those down. We hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. I know we could probably go on for a couple hours, and we'll have to get you back on the show.
Easily.
And what's the best way people can get in contact with you?
Best way is email chad@giantrockthemovie.com.
Okay.
And I answer every email personally, and if they want to leave a phone number, I certainly will call them back wherever I am. I'm real busy, but I make it a point to return every email and every phone call. So
great.
So if they email me, chad@giantrockthemovie.com, I will get back with them, or they can Google Chad C. Meek or Google Giant Rock the Movie. I will respond. And especially, you know, I definitely respond. Because I know there's a lot of like-minded people out there, especially listening to your show. I would love to hear from you.
Okay. Yeah, let me sign out. Hang on for a second. Let me sign out, and I'll get right back to you.
All righty.
So anyway, I'm your host, James Gilliland. We're signing off. Have a great day, and watch the skies, and take a stand for truth. Anyway, have a great day. Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got Jeff Harvey coming back to bless us with some of his amazing healing research. He has 6 years and a watcher of military intelligence while in the Navy. His current research he's working on, he's focused on activating dormant areas of the brain, mind, matrix, astral manipulation, entity contact, consciousness projection, and both animate and inanimate partners. He utilizes various leading-edge technologies, including, but not limited to, radionic torsion field generation, Shiva and paranormal Shakti, neural stimulation systems, and analog wave generation. That's a mouthful. But anyway, I just want to bring Jeff on the show. Jeff, are you with us?
Right here, James. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to have you on the show again. I know you're always doing something cutting-edge, you know, concerning the awakening healing process, and I guess your latest work is this paranormal Shakti technology that you're working on.
Absolutely. It's probably the most advanced thing we've done that has real underpinnings and actually some results for ET contact.
Nice. It's now as far as now that's actually shifting you into what some would call interdimensional mind, or the ability to, go beyond this physical reality. Is that how the process works?
Well, I'll detail the underpinning of it. Years ago, there was a fellow named Michael Persinger who was working up at Laurentian Labs in the university up there. And he did a lot of work with brain states, and he found out that in certain geomagnetic fields, people were more likely to be able to sense or see entities and things of this nature. So he said, well, gee, that sounds like there's some sort of a geomagnetic component to this. So they went to the lab and they put QEEG machines on so they could read the very deep brain signals that were actually showing up when somebody perhaps had an astral projection or an out-of-body experience, or they felt they were in touch with a particular entity. So they saw these areas of the brain light up, and they said, well, if we can see what areas of the brain light up, what if we were to give the brain that same type of signal back to it at a very low level? Would it be able to allow them to be able to sense and see these things? And sure enough, boom, lo and behold, they started having those things happen. So it appears that when certain areas of your brain are active, your frequencies that you operate at, for lack of a better term, because it's not just frequency, the type of waves you're generating are of a kind that are basically more interest to someone or an entity. Let's say there's an ET entity and they're more interested in people with more of a consciousness shift to the way they think. This actually allows you to shift into that arena, and now contact becomes far more possible because you're actually in a state where you're sensitive to it. Even though you want it, your brain might not be in a state where it's sensitive to it. Mm-hmm. And that's where this device comes in.
That makes sense. Now, a lot of people will, just to be the devil's advocate here, will say, well, you're triggering a response in the brain to make these events happen, and they're not, because of that, these events aren't real events. They're not really happening. You're just stimulating imaginary processes within the brain.
Well, that's the interesting part about this. First of all, you're absolutely right. People all the time have hallucinations. And in the dream state, that happens a lot. Our minds will actually take our day's work or whatever we're doing, and it will combine elements of that and elements of your long-term memory into the dream state. And the best we've figured out is it's forming actual scenarios that are lessons for us to learn. And you and I both know that you keep getting lessons if you don't learn them. Now, the other thing is that if you look at it the other side of the fence, people are also having astral projections. They're having out-of-body experiences using this. And those aren't hallucinations. But what's fascinating is that the mind looks at it exactly the same way. The mind doesn't really care if you're having a hallucination or you're literally seeing an entity. It will actually trigger the same spots in the brain. So as a devil's advocate, yeah, I see their point, and I have logged years on this technology since 2010. And so I know when I'm having a hallucination. I know when I'm in a remote viewing scenario. I know when I'm in an astral projection, and I certainly know when I'm having an out-of-body experience. And anybody who's had these pretty much knows what the difference is.
Well, you're gaining access to information that's not really available to you, or you wouldn't have, and bringing that back to me, which would automatically validate the experience as it existing, you know, in and of itself, and it's not just imagination.
That's another one of the proofs that if you talk to academia, they don't have really any argument for that because they don't know what to say. There really is no argument for it. The other thing too, you know, people say, well, what about the safety of this thing? You're sending magnetic signals into the brain. And it's true, we are. What we did was is they originally, Todd Murphy is the inventor of this, and he's one of the most brilliant men I've known. He basically took the traces from the QEEG out of the deep states, and then he took an image of that trace and made a signal out of it. That's a very complex, gentle magnetic signal. Not EMF, not electrical in nature, but magnetic. And so what happens is if you look at somebody who takes a set of headphones and plays some music into them, those are also gentle magnetic signals that go into your brain. And so this is no kind of an issue to be worried about. They've got a tremendous amount of testing on this. And they've done years, full lifetimes of actual lab animal testing where the animals are just sitting in this kind of a field. And they thrive. They do just fine.
They probably do better.
Well, if we could link into their dream states, I'm betting you there's a lot of cheese involved.
Yeah. Exactly. They're probably all blissed out, and they have, you know, they've actually proven, you know, the happy you are, your whole body, your cells are open, you know, they're receiving nutrients, your saliva even changes colors, you know, it's kind of pinkish, you know, it's like everything shifts in the body, and your body is functioning on a much better state. So if you could actually create an environment where people would be, you know, blissed out or loving or are excited or doing what they really want to do, it seems like it automatically would have healing properties to go along with it.
There's a particular signal Todd and I have been discussing that they use just for bliss. And it turns out that if you repeatedly use this signal, you get ever increasing levels of bliss until you plateau out. And so there are things that you can do with it. It has settings for several things that are of interest. One, to sensitize yourself to paranormal phenomena. Another one, to sensitize yourself to a sense of presence, to know when there's an entity in the area. And the others are to sensitize yourself on site at a paranormal location. And of course, you can sensitize yourself at other locations as well. But then there's another one. Let's say you live in a haunted house and you're uncomfortable with all that paranormal activity. It has a setting to desensitize you to those things. Now, I'm of the opinion the more sensitive I am to these things, the happier I am. Because no matter what happens, I want to know what the truth is. So please make sure I see every bit of data I can get.
Yeah, I'm pretty much of the same mindset. You know, I want to see it all. You know, and sometimes that gets you into a little trouble. You know, you better know what you're doing and know how to maintain your self-authority and heal any unseen negative influences. But, you know, it's better to be aware of it than ignorant of it.
Right. There's a lot of people out there that do evocation work, and they'll evoke demons or angels or elementals or whatever it is. And so one of the things that they always do is they make sure that if they've brought something in that's actually not very positive and it's creating a little havoc in their life, they just desensitize for a short while and it draws the energy away because there's no link to the mind anymore. There are some really interesting ways of getting that accomplished.
Yeah, what are some of the ways of desensitizing, you know, just to shut off some of that noise?
Well, there are certain temporal lobe sessions that we have. The unit is basically a piece of software you load on your laptop or computer. Mm-hmm. And it has a USB input you plug into your USB setup. And the hat has 8 coils on it that you place at different locations, depending on what kind of a session you're doing. So for me, the last 6 weeks have been all sensitivity training sessions. So I've had them all in one position all the time. But you can change to other ones where 1 week you do sensitivity generally and another sensitivity to entities. Uh-huh. And that's a very interesting way to do things because you don't get the brain to get habituated to it. Because after your 4th to your 6th week, the session effects that are in session seem to ebb away into subconscious. They don't go away, but they seem to ebb from conscious memory. Uh-huh. Last night, let's see, where are we? We're on Friday. So Wednesday was my last of my 6 weeks of the new protocol we're doing. And the new one has gotten staggering results from it. One fellow, I'll quickly tell you, he had, this is a really right brain fellow working in a reasonably left brain job. And he's very creative, very artistic, and so is his family. And he used the system. Now, before I tell you what happened, he had a couple of years before had a missing time incident. Uh-huh. And he was going down 476 from up here in the Scranton area down to Philly. And the last thing he remembers about that trip when he got there was knocking on the guy's door. He couldn't remember the entire trip. Uh-huh. Well, this is a guy that's healthy. He eats healthy. He wasn't doing drugs or anything, and he certainly wasn't drunk. Because with all the traffic down there, there's no way to be drunk and drive. So we know that this was a reality. Something happened, and he had missing time. Well, he did the session, his very first one, and I showed him our new protocol session, and he instantly found himself in an astral projection where he was flying up above the ocean. Then he dove down in, and he had some interesting entity contact down there. And then he was having a feeling that he was being protected, and one of his statements was that it was an ET group that was doing it and he was in contact with. So what we think happens with this is that it allows the brain to get into the states where you can reinitiate contact if you've had it before, or you can initiate it if you have not.
I'm losing you there. It seems like your mic's moving around or something. I don't know.
Okay. I'm saying is it allows for it appears to allow that if you've had ET contact before for you to reinitiate it. And if you've not had an ET contact before, it allows for you to be open to that and for your mind to be more easily accessible for them to link with you. And we've had several contacts that were of a telepathy format, and I had two of them.
So can you tell me what are the contacts like? You know, is there an exchange of information or messages or things of that nature?
This is the really interesting part. In a couple of mine, and when I say a couple, I don't mean a couple. I mean many of the sessions I've done. I get what you would term a data stream. Now, in remote viewing, which I'm trained in, they basically, you get bursts of information. You'll get a couple of words here, a couple of there, maybe an emotion, a feeling, a picture, whatever. In these events, the pictures sometimes stream so fast, you literally can't lock onto them and remember them all. And we're talking sometimes thousands in one session. And it's a gorgeous event as it comes through. There are other times when in just a few seconds to a couple of minutes, you will get massive amounts of pictures and visuals. And even though you and I both know you could never remember them all, you actually experience each one individually. Now, if a picture comes to your mind, you need to experience it for a couple of seconds to actually feel the emotions and feel it. Well, this technology has, on a couple of events, allowed me to see thousands of pictures and experience the emotions of the moment, and it all ended in a very short period of time.
That's, you know, that's quite interesting, because when I had the experience with the Ryan Council of Light group, and they did the download of these three golden balls of energy, I started having that happen, and I would see a picture or an image of a past life of myself, get all the information, you know, the emotional feeling around it, who I was, what I was doing, and it was happening in 5 or 6 seconds.
Exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah. You know exactly how it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And just one after another, and I was getting the full memory, the full essence of that lifetime. And so that's what I see how they can do, is with the picture will have all this information attached to it. And it, you know, I guess when you're in that altered state, you can, you know, just download tons of data. You know, the trick is bringing it back to the conscious mind.
That is the big deal. Another thing, and I'll go over the bringing it back to conscious, but in those data streams that you had gotten, imagine having an entire hour of that. Yeah.
Wow. That would be like, that would be, oh God, I couldn't even explain it. You know, it'd be like going to the movies, you know, and seeing the most awesome movie you ever saw, but then having about 100 of those all together. In, you know.
That's really what it's like. I've had two life reviews in my waking state life. I did not go through a near-death experience to have them. And the second one, the most recent, happened in one of these sessions. Mm-hmm. I was standing before a demonic entity that had invaded my home, and I basically told him he had to answer for what he had done. And this entity, I don't know what happened, but he started weeping bitterly. And he went through a life review, and that's why he was weeping. And then after that, I went through one. And the last thing I said to him, I said, one day we will all be as equals. And that was the last thing I sent him off with after his life review, and he was in tears. But then I had a life review, and it was amazing, because after I was done, it was the first time in my life I'd been able to experience a deep level of forgiveness of myself for the things that I was stupidly doing when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does really help you. Brings a lot of humility when you realize, you know, that you've done almost everything. You know, I know, you know, I've hacked off heads as a Viking warrior, and you know, robbed people as a road bandit, and I've had some very high spiritual lives too as well, and I've done all of it. And so I have a greater understanding for, you know, somebody that might rob somebody, or somebody that might murder somebody, or things like that, and why they do it. You know, what created them, what turned them down that road, you know.
And I think that's why we live the different lives, is so that we can get all the lessons we need to be a whole being. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in some lives, we have to do some bad things in order to learn those lessons, that those are not the things we need to do. Because when we revisit that and we feel the feelings of the pain we cause, that's really nasty stuff.
Yeah, it's like passing the potato. You know, you just keep passing it. You know, you think you got revenge. You think you balance things out, but you really never do. You just, as long as you're doing harmful acts, you know, you're always going to have to pay the piper down the road.
Yeah, I agree with you. So this is why I think this is a good idea for people to use for trying to work on ET contact or just actually raising their consciousness.
It's too bad you can't take a device like that, you know, and drop it off at the Pentagon and the at the United Nations, you know, and the White House, and just turn it on and just drop it off and leave it, you know.
I hear you. Well, you know, there is something that can be done on that. I think I told you about it on our last show. Uh-huh. In radionics, you can literally create a torsion field at any location you wish. Uh-huh. There are some of us who work on doing those things to actually reverse some of the nonsense that's going on. But you can only work on a couple of individuals or a small group at a time if you want to have massive results.
Yeah.
If you work on too large of a body, the amount of energy it takes is so high and it takes so long to accrue that saturation level. But it can be done, and we do it. There's another scientist by the name of Bob Dratch who uses soliforms to do this. And he's a very creative fellow. He does some really neat stuff for peace.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does he use again to do this?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
The
I didn't
technology,
hear
or you said he uses, was it?
Holoform generators.
Holoform generators. I don't know. Could you describe that or?
Yeah. Here's what happens. They take let's say the energetic imprint of let's say a chrysanthemum flower, and then they create a fractal pattern that matches it. Then they take it and they create a holoform using your computer's central processing unit. There's two companies that actually do things like this, but both of them do pretty much the same thing. Your central processing units in your laptop put out RF energy all the time, very, very, very high frequencies.
Uh-huh.
And so all they do is they modulate that CPU to do that, and it creates this holographic waveform that literally crosses continents in, you know, a microsecond. So it's very similar to what people call a scalar wave or a tachyon pulse, or it's nothing more than life energy that they're talking about, which is your biofield, and your mind creates these waves all the time, which is why intention works and prayer works, because you're sending the energy of a thought form in a wave out to the target. And that's why the radionics devices we use are so good, because they allow us to infect an entire area with something very positive. And I say it because we do want it to spread.
Yeah, I got a target for you.
Yeah,
we've got, I've been, you know, as you probably heard, I don't know if you heard about it, but they've been doing all they can to shut the ranch down and, you know, coming up with just ridiculous code violations that don't even add up. I mean, they're not even violations. Just
we think we have an idea on why this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. But,
well, it may be a little more physics-oriented than you think.
Uh-huh.
The military and the intelligence communities are trying to identify hyperspace pathways. These are pathways that open up at various times depending on what the alignments of the planets in our solar system are. And under certain alignment conditions, different hyperspace pathways will open up. And they basically allow cross-dimensional travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so you probably are sitting on one of the most saturated areas on the planet, and they're trying literally to control these locations so that they can use them for their purposes. So that's probably what's going on there.
Yeah, we've had some interesting offers. I mean, I've had some offers, you know, to even buy the property from certain individuals, you know. Microsoft people, things like that, you know, just so can they come and play with the energies here, but it's not going to happen because, you know, this is earmarked for something else. But yeah, it's definitely, there's a bigger picture going on, because really this makes no sense. But the problem is that they own, you know, they own the system and they own how the system works. And even with just base logic, going in there, it just doesn't matter. These guys just, you know,
they're going to act the way they're going to act, yeah. And they don't care. They have no care at all what the law is. That's nothing.
No, they don't.
Because they're the ones that write it.
Exactly.
The other thing that might be of interest to you is that these hyperspace pathways and these planetary alignments in our solar system are what they used to actually make better yields out of their atom bomb blasts.
Uh-huh.
It turns out if they don't detonate it at a certain alignment, they don't get the yield they expect, uh-huh. Which is why those organizations want it. They're going to weaponize these hyperspace pathways. So it's a beautiful thing that you're trying to protect that there, because the less of these become weaponized, the better for humanity.
Exactly. Yeah, this is for, you know, for awakening and healing and for contact, you know, with these higher dimensional beings. It's not here for a weapon, you know, or anything of that nature. But it's pretty obvious in dealing with what's been happening here. There's definitely a bigger picture involved, and they're trying to criminalize code violations, which is really against the law. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine criminalizing a code violation?
Yeah,
it's not a law.
No,
because it's not on the Federal Register, so it's not a law. It's nothing more than a code or a regulation. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, so how did I break the law? It's not a law, you know.
There's a gentleman who does some legal work with us from time to time, and he's a guy who, when he goes into court, he wipes tickets out like they're nothing.
Uh-huh.
Because when a cop comes up there and shows up, he's showing up in the wrong capacity. And so we're going to have him come in and do a training with us. And once we get the information in a way that we can pass it out, we'll make sure we pass it out to all of our friends.
Great. Yeah, we could use a little help here. I got to go Tuesday to do it. It's my 9th appearance, you know, which is just, malicious use of process and barratry, basically. But they're still trying. I think they're running out of time myself.
I think there is some kind of a time constraint they're trying to get there by.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know that the ancient lore says that right around All Hallowed Eve, dimensional barriers get micro-thin.
Uh-huh.
You know, they call it the veil, whatever you want to call it. But it may be that there is a particular alignment they're looking to do this year that may be more beneficial, which is why they were probably trying to get it done before All Hallowed Eve hits, so they can do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And you know, that's another theory behind CERN. The theory being that they're trying to create a portal over there.
Uh-huh.
And it's not got anything to do with Higgs bosons or any of the other BS that you hear in the news.
Yeah, they want to bring in all the little dark entities, probably.
That's probably what's going on.
Reinforcements, you know.
Yeah, you know, because I look at it this way. Any technologies we can use against them, and Persinger, by the way, the reason I like this guy is he went to Canada because he had, quote-unquote, a disagreement with his government. And it turns out the disagreement was he wasn't going to join the military and help them weaponize these technologies.
Uh-huh.
So he went up, and he works on our team.
Great.
So I look at this, all of it, as a huge battle. And the device, I think, is a great way of becoming more sensitive. So if they do open some of these portals and hyperspace pathways to bring things in we don't want, it would certainly be nice to recognize them so we could maybe do something about it.
Uh-huh.
And that's playing with torsion field generators and this technology. I've only worked the last 6 weeks with the technology alone. Now I'm going to start using multiple technologies and see if I can develop a little bit better pathway for contact.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're having an interesting phenomenon here. From what I understand, these torsion fields actually drain batteries.
Well, torsion field is the same thing your body puts out.
Mm-hmm.
A torsion field is just another name for what you would see that a good quality orgone generator puts out, which is almost identical to the life force we put out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing with terms that aren't really matching what's going on. torsion fields. Well, here's the thing. If you put a battery on a floor, a concrete floor, any mechanic will tell you the thing will drain in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happens when you're walking on concrete all day or sitting around on top of it. You get drained. Mm-hmm. Now, fields can be used to drain batteries depending on how you apply them and what kind of material is in them as the solution that they use to transport the electrons across the plates. Mm-hmm. But if you can set up a device or a field that will resonate a certain pattern, yes, you could actually drain a battery.
Yeah, we're having crazy things happen here with batteries. Most of my cars have had, you know, in the past 2 years, have had three or four batteries in them. And the, you know, just yesterday, my motorcycle battery was just deader than a doornail. What was it? The lawnmower, the motorcycle, and the truck, all of them, I went out after one night, you know. They're running the day before. After one night, we're dead, you know, all at the same day.
Yeah, you're more likely than not getting targeted.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's something going on.
There's so many technologies out there that if Joe Sixpack heard about them, he'd say you're full of it. But in fact, I've worked on some of them, so I know they're real.
Hey, I'm curious, that'd probably be some kind of microwave technology, but I mean, I'm sitting in my, my little yurt, you know, and it has a fluorescent bulb in there, and I'm looking at the bulb, the power's turned off and everything else, and the thing is glowing.
you're probably getting a ramp up of geomagnetic flux underneath you. Now, the other thing is somebody could literally be having a beam hitting there. And that's the other possibility. Because you can take a bulb and put it in a Tesla field, and the thing will light right up. So depending on what kind of a field you're in will depend on whether or not that filament fires.
Yeah, I should go find some power spots here and just stick one of those bulbs in the ground and see what happens.
Here's another one. Take a couple of really good quality coat hangers or some copper wire. Wrap it around. Take a long crystal, quartz crystal. Snap the quartz crystal in two pieces. Okay? And then wind the wire around one of them and plug both ends of the wire into the ground. Then take the other crystal and put it in your yurt with you and focus on moving all negative energy through that connection into the ground.
That's a good idea.
We've used this in radionics quite a bit, where we'll take that crystal, the piece that's broken that we're using to transfer, and we'll run something called a blasting glyph on the machine, where it puts out a field to clear ourselves of negative energies. And we'll use the other piece of crystal to focus that and transfer it as a transfer link back to the other crystal to ground the energy, and it works quite well. We link the black hole energy to that to make it happen. That's what we use to power, because nothing can escape a black hole that we know of.
So you actually wrap the crystal, stick both ends into the ground, and the other crystal, the other half, you don't wrap it with anything, you just have it as a transmitter.
Yeah, that's really just your link. That's your link for negative energy. So if you do this in your backyard, and you take that half of that long crystal and you wrap it with the copper wire, give it a few turns, 5, 6, 7, 9, whatever number you like, and then you plug that into the ground, just push both ends in real deep, and then use the other piece of it as your link for negative energy, that's the best way to get it done. Now, there are mathematical formulas you can use for what the circumference of that inner diameter of that coil you're wrapping around the crystal is, how thick the wire is, and how many turns will give you what kind of an inductive circuit and what frequencies it'll work best at. And you can figure those out, but just wrap it up and use your intent. You know what to do.
Yeah, that might be interesting. I might try that experiment. I have one of those big cloud busters here and a few other things, you know, try to knock down these chemtrails they're hitting us with.
All right, remember when you build cloud busters, though, use powdered metal instead of shavings. the shavings have a much lower surface area than the powder does. Mm-hmm. And we're talking a scale of 1,000 to 10,000 times more powerful with the powder.
Hmm. Or if you just put another layer on top with the powdered resin, you know, resin and power just to...
I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be helpful.
Yeah, could try that one out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's so many things going on. It's like, where do you start?
You know, how much time do you have for the next project? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have myself.
This sounds fascinating.
It's called Paranormal Shakti.
Yeah.
If you want to take a look at it, go up to Facebook and type in Paranormal Shakti, S-H-A-K-T-I. And you can actually read all about the device, the science behind it, but you can also read some of the session results from different people that have gotten results.
Yeah, I did that. It was pretty amazing. I thought that'd be amazing to have one of those little units here and test it out and see what kind of information, because I've always been interested in communication, but I've always felt the missing element is it's really done through consciousness.
And, it is.
And people are always bringing up these light beam communicators and all these laser things and stuff like that. And they said, oh, yeah, this communicates to the ETs. But you never get anything back. You know, you might be sending a signal out there or whatever, but you're going, I want communication. You know, I want something like a phone I can pick up and say, hey, what's up? You know.
Well, that's my idea. I want two-way communication, and I want substantive data coming back. Mm-hmm. If anybody ever shows up with one of these up there, the way to have them use it is do the session on site just as it gets dark. Do a one-hour session. And then 90 minutes after the session is over, a gateway seems to open up in the unconscious mind that allows these type of communications. And sometimes it just opens up as soon as you run the program if you get pretty tuned up to it. So the other thing you can do is have pictures of orbs, pictures of real UFOs, not the fake stuff off the web, and have everybody going through a picture album of that beforehand. Mm-hmm. Now, what you're really doing is you're prepping your brain to have your unconscious mind focus on that kind of thing instead of the other things you might focus on, like Aunt Nellie or the ride with the horses you had last week or a walk in the park. You want to be able to have your brain focused on that before you begin your session, then run your session. You're much more likely to have the subconscious focus on those things.
Yeah, it seems to be all about intent. You know, they always say the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And if you can get your mind straight, you know, you can have these experiences and these contacts. That sounds quite interesting. I would love to try one of those one of these days and, you know, see what comes through here, or invite you up to come to the ranch someday.
I could get up there one of these days, you know, I would bring all my toys with me.
Yeah, that would be fun to have a toy day, you know, just to play with all these things.
Exactly. And that's the reason why I like the idea of this, because many of us, we have these experiences, but they only happen every 3-4 months. And you're like, wait a second, I can't wait that long. That was way too much fun. Mm-hmm. So we've decided that we would rather try and get the brain to get into that state to see if we can get more of them. And clearly we are. By the way, there is a side effect to this, and it's a pretty spiffy side effect. Right after you get done with your session, you go to sleep for the night, you have some of the most lucid, unbelievably memorable dreams for the next few nights. It's incredible. Unbelievable stuff. I haven't posted my latest yet, but I should be posting it quite shortly. It's pretty interesting stuff.
You know, I was wondering about this, how this research into how magnetics affect the brain. And, my mind's going into a lot of the, you know, we're having extreme magnetic fluctuations with the sun blasting us constantly and, you know, moving into alignment with galactic plane and then a possible magnetic pole shift. Can you give us any advice on this, on on basically how this might affect consciousness or the planet?
There's a couple of things we really should talk about because we're noticing a lot of this as well. I track the geomagnetic storm stage every day. And the reason I do that is because when you're doing a session, you need to pay attention to what the K index is, which is the geomagnetic flux.
Yeah.
And if you go to my website, www.jefteech.net, scroll over to the brain mind section and then down to sidereal local time. It'll explain how to line you up with the center of the galactic plane out of the center of the galaxy. And it turns out that when that happens during the day at your location, you literally can get up to a 450% increase in anomalous cognition, meaning astral projections, out-of-body experiences. This time of year, it's around 1 to 2 o'clock, somewhere in that ballpark, but it changes about 4 minutes every day. And so later on in the winter, it'll be after dark when it's really great to do the paranormal Shakti sessions, and we'll be able to combine both of them.
Wow.
So let's go a little further with the K index. If you use paranormal Shakti in a index of solar magnetic levels between 0 and 3, you get your best results. The quieter, the better, obviously. 0 would be best, 3 would be the highest. When you get to a 4, where it's an unsettled state, you don't get all the results. You still get some great dreams after, but you don't usually get the in-session results. And anything above a 4 is an actual storm state. And we've had so many of them in the last week that were unprecedented for months and months before. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Last I checked, we're in a 3.
Yeah. Now, this would create kind of a chaotic effect on the planet. You know, any kind of major influx of energy like that, it would agitate, you know, it could throw people into, you know, emotional outbursts, you know, deep sadness, even comatose behavior. You know, I know at Stanford they did research on monkeys where they made fluctuations in the magnetic fields, and the monkeys went from comatose to self-mutilation.
Yep. Yeah, if you look at any police station or a hospital, right around the full moon, they get a higher level of influx. But also, when we get geomagnetic storm states, as practitioners, we get calls all the time saying, you know, Jeff, I get all these headaches lately, and I can't understand why it is. And I say, well, what was the index? And they go, what do you mean? We explain that sensitive people have a tendency to get headaches during geomagnetic storms. So we send them the links to be able to track this sort of thing. And if you go to spaceweather.com, you can sign up for an email, which they'll actually send you a note when it's going to go to a 4 or if there's a sudden impulse or storm states. And they'll send them usually 3 times a day so you know exactly what's going on.
You'll have to do that. I know I'm signed up on one of them. I'll have to sign up for that one. But, you know, just recently, this last full moon, we had a major solar storm come in, you know, right at the time of the full moon. And boy, I was just like jumping through the roof. I couldn't sleep. You know, I had so much energy going through, and I know people were going into process, you know, all around me. And I said, boy, I'm just going to hide out until this is over with.
Uh huh. And I think it's a better way to fly sometimes. That's why when this happens, when we get really nasty, chaotic storms, and some of the high level storms are very beneficial. I have a different system called Shiva, which is a similar system, only it's 16 coils instead of 8. And that one can be used in a storm state, and I've had some pretty wild rides in them.
Yeah. I've always felt like it's like the semantics, I guess. You know, you have a huge burst of energy come in, and everything's going to go into chaos until it reaches equilibrium again, until it reaches the new higher state. So I've seen them as a good thing, but it's hard to depersonalize it when, you know, people around you are wigging out and projecting, you know, a lot of their issues and things on you.
Yeah, and you really just have to understand they don't have the level of control yet. But the more this happens to them and the more cognizant they are of it happening, the better able they'll be able to control it.
Exactly. And that's what I've seen. It's all about, you know, finding that your that center and being able to hold it and to keep your focus on the higher states of consciousness, and but not to avoid, you know, the process, real, you know, your own process too, you know, get through it.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, being an adult, you go through these things, and as you go through a particular process, whether it be grief or whatever, or dealing with something, you know, try and find ways to get through it in a more pragmatic fashion. Like, well, your favorite dog died. Okay, that's pretty nasty stuff. Mm-hmm. But remember that you had phenomenal times with them. Yeah. Now, I cheat a little bit in grief, because if I have a grief situation, I use a tuning fork. There's a particular tuning fork we call the grief fork that's on my website. And this thing, we've had people that have had, well, they've lost loved ones. One woman, she had a miscarriage and she couldn't get over it. She cried every day. And she said, what am I going to do? And I said, try my tuning fork. And she did. She came screaming back to me a couple of days later. She felt better than she ever did.
Great.
But it's because we think it modulates the dopamine channels in the brain. That's what we think happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the Yigong that we practice here, we had a guy come up to one of the workshops, and he was really, you know, in trauma, and his wife just died. And, you know, he said, you know, I shouldn't be here. You know, I really shouldn't be here. I'm not in any kind of space. And I said, well, you're exactly where you should be, you know. And and I said, you know, and then I told him, I said, you know, and so he, I said, well, sit down. He sat down in the chair, and we did this energy transfer to him, and he's just all blissed out, you know, just totally blissed out. And then he felt guilty about being all blissed out.
Yes.
And then I just asked him, I said, do you think your wife wants you to be in grief and sad and everything? And he goes, no.
Question you could have asked him.
Yeah.
That was like,
and he finally let it go, and I said, you know, your wife's all blissed out. She's done. You know, she's hanging out in the higher planes, and she's just, you know, she's just worried about you and your happiness, and that you, you know, let go of this. And I said, as long as you stay in the grief state, you know, how are you going to contact her and stay in touch with her? Because that's a big wall between you two. And, you know, he just walked out of there, just big grin on his face, and he, you know, he kept it the whole time he was here.
That's exactly the best thing. And you made the right statement, too. He was exactly where he was supposed to be.
Yeah. And that's what I see. I, you know, having, you know, died a couple times myself, you know, it was an awesome experience. You know, I don't say go out and kill yourself, but
I know.
It was an awesome experience. It's nothing to fear, and it's just part of the circle, you know, the sacred circle of life. But
you and I look at it the same way, because I tell people, I say, stop sweating death. This is not a problem. The crap you are dealing with now is so much worse.
Yeah.
You know, you get to shuck this husk and all that low vibrational crud. How could it be anything but fantastic?
Yeah. I just think, you know, why can't we do that here? Why can't we have heaven on earth? And why do people have to keep, you know, running these control, separation, greed programs, you know, here?
This is part of some big process that clearly has to go on here. Unfortunately, yeah. I'm not a fan of people who do this sort of thing. That's why I was one of the watchers of the military intelligence groups when I was in there, mm-hmm. because they knew that I was going to stick to what my job was, and it was a lifelong oath. So I took it, and I still do it.
Yeah, I hope there's a lot of people like you out there, you know, because we're going to really need them here.
Well, I think it's one of those things where if we just hang out with like-minded people in our own neighborhoods and then connect when we can across the web to each other, mm-hmm. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're forming a grid of extraordinarily positive feelings and emotions and a yearning for more information and more growth and spirituality. So that kind of massive amount of energy overcomes a lot of the control nonsense.
Yeah.
And no, we are still in deep caca, but we are making some inroads.
It does seem to be, you know, I have faith that we'll pull out of this, you know, and that there is a huge shift underway, you know, where we are going to have to move in that direction. And
something has to happen, because I agree with you. There is a shift coming, but the problem is that the data on it, from what little data was recovered from way back that's come to the public view, mm-hmm. isn't the whole of it.
Yeah.
There's got to be a lot more data on the last time this happened, and it's got to be in archives somewhere in probably, unfortunately, some secret society or something.
Well, but you know, there are beings that have been around for, what, you know, thousands of years. I mean, some of these Pleiadians live to be 1,200, 800 to 1,200 years old. I know there's some that live even longer than that, that have probably been observing the planet.
Evidently, there's also elementals and angelics and demonics that have been around for many, many, many tens of thousands of years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and, you know, contacting them, if you can get data, you'll at least know you're on the right path, or be able to help shift your path a little bit better. Mm-hmm. When I get these downloads in the session, you know, I don't know what it all means. But every time I come out, I feel like I had a benefit.
Yeah.
And I make a lot more connections now than I used to make in different areas that are somewhat more intuitive. So those sort of things happening to you can't be a bad thing.
Oh, no. Yeah. The you know, what's interesting I found out is that if you talk to one group, they'll give you some information. And then there's a dimension above that, and they'll give you a different story, and the dimension above that will give you a totally, totally different story. And like, one group will not know about the intervention the other group has planned. You know, they may not be aware of it. And so you might be given information, okay, this is the way it's unfolding, you know, in the moment. But at the same time, there could be some other intervention, you know, with these other groups, which are going to change that scenario altogether. So it's so tricky to figure out, you know, how things are going to unfold and who's going to intervene. And a lot of it isn't done until, you know, until it's time to be done. You know, they make a decision at a certain time, okay, are we going to intervene, or are we going to just let this play itself out?
That's another thing, too. You've got many, many different civilizations out there. And I'm of the opinion that they're very similar to us, whether they're humanoid or not, I don't know. But I think all civilizations are similar in that they all have foibles. Some have agendas that aren't perfectly aligned with ours. Others do. And yet others may have a combination of both. So everybody comes to the party with their own story.
Exactly.
So we have to weed through that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tricky.
Well, it's when you have people come to the ranch. You have some people who you're so in alignment with, you'd wish they'd stay there forever. And then other people, they've got some of it, and then they bring along a little baggage too. And you're like, well, I accept you for what you are. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you'll work through your baggage and process, and you'll be where we are at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky. I was trying to tell some of the staff here about that, you know, it's we are a healing center. You know, people are coming here to awaken and heal. So, you know, they definitely are going to bring baggage with them. We just have to realize that we just have to maintain our own center, you know, through this process, and realize, you know, if we're going to have a bunch of saints living here, we probably want to be in another dimension.
I hear you. It'll be interesting if you do the crystal thing and you maintain one, for the other piece, for just for transfer of negative stuff, mm-hmm. you can get everybody together at the end of a day's session, and you can have them take all their baggage and put it in the one crystal and visualize it going out and down into ground. And you should be able to do a very effective job of that, especially if you can get like three or more people doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to try that experiment and see how it works, you know, to really ground this energy, because, you know, we here, it's kind of weird, but we go through the process first, being on this vortex. It's a lot of the energies seem to happen here first, the shifts, and then they happen later in the rest of the world. And so, I mean, we are tested to the metal here.
That's why I think you're in one of these hyperspace gateway locations. And
yeah.
I think it happens at your location far more often than it does many other locations.
Yeah,
you know, they've got one down in Arizona that the military came in and took it over.
Yeah, just the other night we had a massive ship come over. I mean, it was a huge light ship, and it was low, and it just meandered right over us. And you know, I didn't even film it. I should have grabbed my camera and filmed it. But I have so much footage. You know, at what point do you just, you say whatever.
Well, just remember, every so often it doesn't hurt to get a "this is our latest" up. Because people will always say the same thing. What have you done for us lately?
Yeah, exactly.
And I do the same thing up on the Paranormal Shakti forum. I could just put up the data from the science part and a couple of session results and, you know, say, okay, this is what it does. You can read it. You can see what it does. But people want to see, well, who else has gotten something interesting lately? So what we'll do is a couple of times a week, we'll put up a new post on session results so that people can see it and see what other kinds of things are happening out there with it.
Are you getting any information about November? It's funny, they just keep talking about, you know, just a huge event happening in November where, and they're talking about tyranny just kind of imploding on itself. But it's quite interesting, and I haven't been able to get details about it, but that date comes up over and over again.
I don't know, but if you look around the world with all the riots going on now, especially Spain, which, you know, they don't talk about in our media because we're programmed to control.
Yeah.
My thought is that, and I don't have anything to base this on other than what I see, but I see all these riots happening and they're organizing in different countries and it's built up for the last 6 months. It seems like it's coming to a head.
Yeah.
And so my thought is around All Hallows Eve or shortly thereafter, something's got to hit the fan. But if there is some kind of a gateway opening around that date and a lot of energy is going to come across dimensional barriers, then my thought is that would explain a lot of these ramp up riots.
Yeah.
You know, they're, everybody's tired of the control. They're just sick and tired of it. They don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
But something's coming to a head, and it doesn't look like it's far off. So I have to agree with you.
Yeah, I think everybody's just totally fed up with this manufactured, you know, LAC program and all the other, the wars and the...
It's all fear and commerce-based.
Yeah.
And I'm all for making money. I'd love to be wealthy again like I was one day.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, I don't see that as being the direction I really care about. What I really want is to get my spiritual side as high as I can so I can know more of the universe. That is riches beyond belief.
Exactly.
So as long as you can pay the light bill and some food and your toiletries and things,
yeah.
You know, what more do you need?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. That's the way I feel. As long as I have enough to help others and keep myself together and just live simply, I'm good. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour. What is the best way that people can contact you to find out more about the work that you're doing?
All right. If you go to my website, it's www.jeftech.net. You can take a look at some of our brain mind devices and some of the other health related things that we work on. I am a practitioner, and I have done a lot of work in detox for people, especially people trying to get their consciousness up because they've got a pretty crappy matrix that needs to be cleaned. So we do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other is go to Paranormal Shakti, Shakti, on Facebook to read about that technology. And when you get a chance, just send me an email if you've got something specific at jeftech.net, and I'll try and answer the question for you.
Great. Hey, well, we're at the end of the hour, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll have to get you back on again because I know there's a lot more to cover.
Great talking with you again, James.
All right, take care. All right, this is James Gillen, your host, signing off. Have a great day.